Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. No, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start there this morning, Ephesians chapter 4. As a Christian, we have to realize we're not the creator of peace. Really, neither are we the maintainer. What we have to recognize as a Christian is as long as we live in an obedience to the Lord, He's the one that gives us the peace, and He is the one that maintains the peace that we would have. For instance, I would think of a verse that we're going to actually work on in our memory program next year, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth. So the Lord maintains the peace for us. We just, through our trusting. So we in our obedience continue to trust him. He'll continue to help us to maintain the peace. We also are not the creator of peace. In fact, again, we are to be the one that's obedient to help God to maintain. And I want to show you about that by using this passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just look at the opening three verses. This is all by way of introduction. He says, I therefore, this is Paul writing, he's the prisoner of the Lord. Right now he's writing from prison. And he says, and beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So he said, I just want you to be obedient. I want you to walk like you're a Christian. Well, how does a Christian walk? Well, here's part of it. Look at verse 2. With all lowliness, that would be the idea of humility, and meekness, that would be the idea of our strength under God's control. With long suffering, that's the ability to suffer long with someone. Forbearing one another, that's the idea of putting up with one another. By the way, as Christians, we're going to have to long suffer with other Christians even. And we're going to have to forbear even some other Christians, putting up with. Not everyone's like you. Not everyone's perfect. Yeah, you're awake and alive. Not everyone's personality like you. They're going to do things differently than you, and that's okay. And so as Christians, we need to learn to humble ourselves. We need to keep our strength under God's control. We need to learn to suffer long with some people, and we need to forbear some people. You're called to that, according to verse 2. And we're to forbear in love. And then look at verse number 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, it isn't our job to create it. The Holy Spirit gives us a peace and a bond with Christians naturally. If I have the Spirit in me and Brother Alvin has the Spirit in him and we're both walking in the Spirit, we'll get along with each other. Delight to talk to each other. Delight to have fellowship. But if one of us isn't walking in the Spirit, even though we both have the Spirit, we won't get along. So our obedience, we don't create the peace, we don't maintain the peace, but our obedience allows for the Holy Spirit to maintain the peace in our lives. As Christians, we love peace. We've already talked about in the opening song. As Christians, what a tremendous commodity. Even though we're in the trials of life, we can have a peace that passes all understanding. But sometimes by the way we act, by the way we live, and here, by the way we think, we discard that peace. I don't think we do it intentionally. We don't say, I don't want to have peace today, so I'm going to think unbiblical thoughts. But we don't sometimes realize it's our unbiblical thoughts that are keeping us from having peace. It's not actually the trial that takes away the peace. It's the way we think, the way we act, the way we communicate when we're going through a trial. That's why we lose the peace. So I want to talk to you today about how unbiblical thinking robs our peace. So to maintain that right relationship with God and keep the peace, how we have to biblically think as the Lord has instructed us. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need this as Christians. Because even as Christians, that peace that we have with you and that peace we get from you, we can lose because we're just not thinking right. We start to think about ourselves. We start to think about things that aren't really true. We start to assume things. We start to get involved in gossip. And all of a sudden, our peace is gone and we don't know what happened to it. So Father, help us to learn from this text of Scripture today and be obedient to it so that you can continue to maintain a peace with us and within our lives, something we can enjoy as Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me now to our text, Philippians chapter 4. Dear friend, if you come, I've already talked about this in the opening song, but one of the things we are definitely concerned about is your soul. And so as you have come here today, if you're not a Christian, there's never been a point in time. By the way, dear friend, Christianity isn't something you grow into. It's not, oh, I've always known I was a Christian. That is not it at all. It is not, well, my family was a Christian. Now I'm a Christian. No, that's not it. The Bible says you become a Christian by there being a point in time where you're trusting in Jesus Christ and His death on Calvary for your sins as the entrance into heaven. And trusting alone in Jesus Christ, who's the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. And so if you have thought any other way, or believed in any other way, dear friend, this is the way the Bible teaches. It's the only way to heaven, and it is the way you'll get peace with God so that you can get peace from God. You have to start there. And so maybe it's a lack of peace in your life because you're not truly born again. And so that is one of the first things to make sure of in your life. But then at times, as Christians, as I've already talked about, we're in this relationship, but maybe because of the storms of life or whatever, we just start thinking unbiblical thoughts. We don't really think about them being unbiblical, but as we identify them from this text of Scripture this morning, we're going to recognize, wow, my thinking's wrong. Because my thinking's wrong, I'm not enjoying peace from God. In fact, that's maybe then leads to other problems, and we begin to spiral. Let's back up a little bit. Let's begin in verse number 4. Let's look at the commands. And let me ask you, how are you doing with the command? Verse number 4, we are commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. How are you doing with that command? Are you rejoicing? Are you joyful in having God and walking with Him in your life? And again, I say, here it is, commanded. Rejoice. And again, this is a command that we ought to be observing in our lives. Look at verse number 2. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Are you doing that? What does that look like? Well, it's a quiet peaceableness that's in your life that others ought to be able to be seeing. Are you following that? We're commanded to, as we go through life, to let others see Christ in us, even in the trials of life. Are you doing that? If you're hiding your Christianity, if this trial's got you so bent out of shape, you're going into work mad, you're acting irritated at home, you're short with people, you're complaining all the time about the trial, then you're not obeying that command. You're not letting your moderation be known unto all men. That would include saved and unsaved. That include family and non-family members. That include church family and non-church family members. All men. We're commanded to let our moderation be known. Look at verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. That's a command. The Bible's talking about don't worry, not taking things on yourself. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests. So we're not to be taking it on ourselves. We're to be giving it to the Lord. Are you obeying that command? If you obey these commands, you're rejoicing in the Lord, you're letting your moderation be known, you're showing your testimony, you're giving all your requests to the Lord, look what happens in verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He says, you know what? You obey those commands, and I'll give you peace. So we have to begin to work backwards. Okay, I don't have peace, so what am I not obeying? If you in your Christian life, as you walk through the doors this morning, I don't have peace. I'm not living a peaceful Christian life. I'm all worked up. I'm angry. I'm irritated. I'm short with my family. I'm short with my coworkers. I'm grouching to the neighbors. I'm complaining all the time about this and that and the other thing in life. Then we have to back up, say, okay, I don't have peace. Let me identify why. It's not because God won't give it to me. It's because there's something going on in my life. You see, if we are rejoicing and we're giving all of our trials to the Lord, then He'll give us peace, and then He tells us how we ought to be thinking. So let's step into verse number 8 then, because this comes back to being commanded of us. This is something we're commanded to do. And as I got to the end of the message 2 weeks ago, I talked about where peace comes from. It comes from God. I talk about what peace accomplishes. It gives us it guards our hearts and our minds. But I didn't get to the third point of how the peace remains, and that's where we're going to pick it up today. And so I want us to understand, first of all, the battle of the mind. Again, as Christians, I often think we kind of get rid of the peace just by how we think. In fact, some of you, and we talked about this in the message a couple of weeks ago, some of you will say, well, I give it to the Lord and then I take it back. And I think this is a little bit going to help you. I think this will help you a lot with that idea. I think what you're doing, you're saying this, well, I give the Lord my request, but then I keep thinking about it. I keep dwelling on it. I keep saying, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if this never happens? And what if that doesn't happen? And all of a sudden, our mind runs out of control. And we don't have peace. Even though we gave it to the Lord, we don't have peace. Because of the way we're thinking. So let's look at the battle of the mind. Let's look at verse number 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things. And I highlighted, and I would encourage a Bible study. I'm going to help you with a Bible study today. I would encourage you, when it gets to lists like this, to define the list. Here it says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. And I've helped you by, we're defining what those words mean, and we're going to practically look at what a couple of them look like. The Lord's saying, these are the kind of things I want you to think about. So imagine this, I've taken the request that I have. Oh, that's right, God's over here. God was Dwayne, right? And I take my request and I've given them to the Lord. And Dwayne was the illustration of the Lord. Bad illustration, but the best I have over here. Dwayne is the illustration of the Lord. If I want to talk about Satan, I'll talk about somebody else. But anyway, Dwayne's the illustration of the Lord. And I gave all my requests. If I give it all to Him and then start thinking on things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. I don't get burdened back down by the trials. I've got my mind now thinking on the right side. And God is able to maintain the peace in my life. So as a Christian, what does it mean to be true? Well, according to the just simple definition, it's something that is honest. It's something that's real. It's something that's right. I'm keeping it really simple. And I've used a number of dictionaries to help identify and ways I thought would be simple for all of us. So when it says whatsoever things are true, we're talking about things that are honest. We're talking about things that are real. We're talking about things that are right. Whatsoever things are it goes on to say honest. Well, true and honest, aren't they the same thing? No, they're not. The word honest here actually means something that is honorable. It's not talking about something that is truthful. It's something that is honorable. So it's worthy of respect, something along that line. We talk about the honorable so-and-so. It's someone who's worthy of respect because of their position. Well, this is something that's worthy of thinking about. You know, some of the things that we think about aren't worthy to be thought about at all. We've got to stop thinking about it. It's not worthy of being thought. Why are we spending our time thinking about that? Whatsoever things are just, it means upright. It means to meet a standard. It means to be innocent. Whatsoever things are pure, it means morally sacred. Or morally clean or sacred. Men, sometimes the battle of our mind, we think on immoral thoughts. We need to put that off. And we need to think on things that are pure. We need to put off the impure thoughts and put on the pure thoughts. That means we ought to be reading things that help us to think pure thoughts. We ought to be looking at things that help us to think pure thoughts. Because if you're looking and reading things that lead to impurity, that is going to take away the peace in our lives and lead us in a disobedient relationship. Things that are lovely, things that are acceptable, things that are pleasing to God. Not things that I think are acceptable and pleasing to me, things that are acceptable and pleasing to God. Is it of a good report? Means it's praiseworthy. Means it's sounding well. It means it's healthy. Was another word to describe that. So, as you look through that list, there are probably some trigger points for you. Brother Ron had to go this past week and has another appointment about a trigger finger. Well, sometimes we have some trigger points in our lives. Some of you are going to do better with some of these than others. What I would encourage you to do is look at that list, especially throughout this week, and pray about this list. Maybe memorize this verse to familiarize yourself with it. Because what you want to do is focus on the areas that you're having trouble with. For instance, the word true there. It's something that is real. It's something that is right. I like to describe it this way. It is right now. Or, you have to ask this question, is this really true? Sometimes we assume they meant this. Well, I think what she was referring to is this. Well, do you know that? Is that right now? Is that really true? Or are you focusing on something you don't know to be really true? You're assuming it's that way. Well, if my life were going this way, I'd be a better Christian. If things were going the way I think they ought to go, if my husband was acting the way I think he, then I would respond more biblically. So it's his fault you're not walking in the Spirit. See, again, sometimes we're not focusing on what's true. And sometimes we're not keying in. Sometimes we get into this what-if scenarios. And so as a Christian, we might have to really work on this, and instead of assuming, Karen used this as an illustration the other week, and it was a good one. I thought for maybe a couple years, I don't know, and this was not a point of contention for us, but I thought whenever Karen opened the door and we have a trash can that comes out when you open the door in our kitchen. I thought whenever she did that and left it open, it meant she wanted me to take out the trash. Man, she does that a lot. I'm taking the trash out all the time, folks. The reality was, no, she's probably peeling potatoes or peeling carrots, because that's one of the few things on my diet right now are carrots. She's probably doing that and just leaving it open because she's got something else she needs to soon put in the trash can. And she was, so I was assuming this is her way to hint to me, Keith, take out the trash. Again, this had not become a point of contention at all, has it? What do you mean? No, just kidding. She goes, I don't know, is it? No, it wasn't at all. But again, sometimes you assume, and it wasn't true. It wasn't that she was doing that to get me to take out the trash. She was doing that to make it more convenient to do her work in the kitchen. I must have been frustrating her by changing the bag and closing the door. So has it been a point of contention? No, we'll talk about that later, dear. I'll have an appointment with you later. And oh, she did that to me and it broke, really. Anyway. Is it true? Sometimes we go through the trials of life and this is what we think. We think this. We were communicating this week. This doesn't have to do with him directly. God doesn't hear me. God isn't answering my prayer. Have you ever thought a thought like that? Let me ask you, does God hear you? Let me ask you this. Is there times it feels like he's not hearing you? And then we live according to our feelings. Guess what? All of a sudden the peace is gone. If you get in your mind the idea God isn't hearing me, the peace is gone. Because where are we without God? So again, sometimes we get dwelling on things that aren't true. God doesn't love me. That's not true. He loves you with an everlasting love. God doesn't care. Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. But again, we get thinking those thoughts in the trials of life, and we get thinking on things that aren't real. We get thinking on things that aren't right. And the peace is gone. Let's look at another one. Whatsoever things are pure. Well, the Scripture says, I'm to be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Ladies, I know that battle comes. But men, I know it really comes. And so what we have to do is make sure that we are honing in when our thoughts are impure. Because when our thoughts are impure, the peace is gone. Because God's not going to give you an abiding peace while your mind's in the gutter. And that's not just immoral, physically immoral thoughts. It can be in many other realms of life as well. Let's look at one more. Let's drop down to that good report. Let me ask you, is gossip ever a good report? If you're not part of the problem and you're not part of the solution, you shouldn't be part of the discussion. That helps you on both sides. It helps you to say, well, you know what, I shouldn't be telling somebody else about this because it's not my problem and I'm not part of the solution. That also helps you because if somebody's trying to tell you about somebody else, you ought to say, wait a second, I'm actually not part of this and don't want to become part of that. You might need to talk to them directly or else just pray about it. So again, when we get caught up in gossip, it's not a good report. And that's just one illustration of being an evil report. When we get caught up in gossip, that's one thing that says, again, the peace is gone. God's not going to give you an overwhelming, abiding peace while you're caught up in gossip. And so there are just several ways that we can take this passage and apply it to our lives. And I just want you, I would love for you, I think any passage like this, you can go through the charity passage of 1 Corinthians 13. You ought to define the words. You can go through a series that I'm going to work through with you, hopefully in the next coming year and a half to 2 years, if the Lord so tarries, on the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to work through that. And how is this being displayed in our lives and define all that? How about the armor in Ephesians chapter 4? We ought to define all the parts of the armor that we need to withstand against the fiery darts of the devil. How many Christians don't even know what the armor is about? No wonder we're having trouble standing. So you've got to understand the battle of the mind. You can be a Christian and not have peace because of unbiblical thinking. Let's look at back at verse number 8 one more time here because I haven't really even finished the verse yet, and I got to finish the verse before I get to verse number 9. Finally, brethren, and call out to me the words when I stop. We're going to go through the list. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are, whatsoever things are, whatsoever things are, whatsoever things are, whatsoever things are of, if there be any virtue, That has the idea of moral excellence. If there be any praise, something to praise God for, think on these things. By the way, a little bit of help here. Somebody taught me this years ago. The dipstick to your mind and the dipstick to your heart is your tongue. Very often you can tell where your mind is by what you're talking about. So again, maybe listen to yourself a little bit and how you're speaking to try to identify. Now, so we not only have to understand the battle of the mind, you have to understand then the importance of obedience. So let's look at verse number 9 and we're done. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. So Paul is saying kind of a list here. He says there's some things you've learned from me and others. There's some things that you have received. So I'm going to say the learned is maybe through practical life, maybe through just seeing him live. Paul talks about the man of God. He ought to be acting in such a way that others can learn by his life. And I know Pastor Terry does a phenomenal job of that. Tremendous Christian character. I highly respect him in the way he lives a Christian life. And I trust in some way I do that as well. But then he goes, not only learn, but receive. And I think that comes through the teaching aspect, the preaching aspect. You've learned this from me. You've received this from me. You've heard this from me. You've heard me talking about it. You've heard me referencing it. You've seen it in me. Do that. He says, the reason I have peace is because of the obedience. And again, Paul had been clear. Obeying me as long as I'm obeying the Lord. He says, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, isn't that interesting? Look back with me, would you, to verse number 7. I've got to flip back here. And the peace of God. But that's not how it's worded in verse number 9. In verse number 9, I'm not just getting the peace of God, I'm getting the what? The God of peace. Wow. I don't just have peace from God. I've got God in my life. So God's saying, you know what? Do this. If you would just obey what I just told you, think of those things that are they're true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. If I think on those things, I do those things, not only will I have the peace of God, but the God of peace shall be with you. Now that sounds a little confusing. I thought I got God when I got saved. You did. But there is something about not only having God in your heart as a Savior, but having there as a comforter, a minister, an encourager. And there is something about being right with that God that saved you. And so he says, it boils down to this, it's simply obedience. Dear friend, as the trials of life come, one of our temptations is to take him and take those trials, and I'm going to use my Bible kind of as an illustration. Take those trials and you just give them to the Lord. But sometimes when we talk about, yeah, I give it to the Lord and then take it back, I think this is what we're doing. We're giving that trial, we're giving that burden, we're giving that concern to the Lord, but then we're letting our minds run wild. And we're thinking on things that aren't really real. Thinking on things that aren't honorable. They aren't just. They aren't right. They're not right with God. We're thinking on things that aren't lovely. They're not acceptable. They're not pleasing to God. They're not pure. I skipped that one. They're not pure. They're not morally clean. And sometimes in the midst of trials, we tend to go toward the immoral just to satisfy ourselves. They're not of good report. Boy, how often in the midst of trials we focus on the negative. Sometimes our excuse is, well, that's my personality. Well, what about when your personality conflicts with being right with God? Just because something is the way you would typically lean toward doesn't make it right with God. And sometimes you've got to alter who you are. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Again, it's a command. Those things that you've learned or heard, or, no, those things which you have, what's the first one? Learned and heard and received and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So again, let's do this. Let's cast off the unbiblical thinking. And let's put on biblical. You say, Pat, this isn't very deep. Dear friend, the scripture says, the entrance of thy words giveth understanding unto the simple. Christianity isn't about being really deep. It's about being really practical. He says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the Bible has identified, from the heart proceedeth, from that inner man. So we are to commit our works unto the Lord, and our thoughts shall be established. Do, and you'll have the right thinking. So this is key. This is critical. Yeah, it's simple. I hope the youngest person here can grasp something out of this message. I'm not trying to stump you and get you to feed on something you can't understand. I'm trying to give you something that will help you in your Christian life. We just need to stop and evaluate our thinking. What if I had a different wife? What if I had a different husband? What if I had a different job? What if I didn't get this report? What if that work they did this? And we do all this unbiblical thinking. And the peace is gone. Let's think on these things. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Your Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need your help. Your Spirit abides in us and communicates with our spirit. We need your help. We need you to remind us. We need you to prompt us. So we cast down imaginations and every high thing that it exalteth itself against the knowledge of who you are. And we need to bring these thoughts into captivity. We need to make these thoughts obedient to Jesus Christ. And so, Father, right now in this moment, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we come to you. And we admit, the reason we don't have peace isn't for some because they're not a Christian. They are a Christian. The reason they don't have peace is when they gave you that trial, they didn't control where their mind went. And their mind is out of control. And the peace is gone. Right now, Christian, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask the pianist to quietly play. I just want us right now where we are to begin to identify in our minds the thoughts that are causing us to be in turmoil and to be troubled. And what is robbing us of the peace that God wants us to have. And say, Lord, I confess I've been thinking the wrong thoughts. And I want your help to change how I think. I want to begin to think, and I want to get to know this verse, and maybe the 2 Corinthians 10:5, and casting down imaginations, and every high thing that's exalting itself over you. I need your help, Lord. I want your peace back. I want to be able to let known to all men that the Lord is at hand. I want my moderation to be known. If you're praying along this line and you would like me to pray for you this week as well, would you just lift up your hand? You're just saying, Pastor, that hit on a note with me. God bless you. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may put those hands down. Yes, I see that hand. Dear friend, are you a Christian? I'm just going to have her play through a little bit more. Are you a Christian? Are you 100% sure? If you're not, would you raise your hand and say, Keith, I'm not 100% sure I'm a Christian. I've always thought I was, but I'm not 100% sure. Would you pray for me? I want to make sure of that. It may be I don't have peace because I'm not 100% sure of that. Anyone at all? Just raise up your hand. Just enough. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Your Father, we come to you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this message. Thank you for the opportunity to help us through your word. I pray that you'd really help us to change and grow. I pray that you'd help us to maybe memorize these couple verses and begin to apply them in our lives. We have a luncheon for those that are staying. I ask you to strengthen them by the food and bless the food to their body. Others are going home for lunch or out, and I ask you to bring them back safely to the service this afternoon or this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.